irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, June 14th. Good morning, Tori.
Good morning.
Today is actually my brother in China's birthday.
Oh.
So wishing him happy birthday there.
Happy birthday.
Like he ever listens, right? But that's okay. At least you got to get it out of your system, you know. Do your part.
Always. At least you've done it.
Yeah. So, today we're going to have an awesome guest. We're going to have like a major magician.
Ooh.
He's not in the studio. He'll be calling in, but this is a
guy. Can he do magic on the phone?
We'll try. Maybe if he holds it close to the mic or to the phone, we'll be able to see it, you know. But anyway, I mean, you guys will be able to go to his website and see some of the things. And he's going to be on TV this upcoming season. So we'll talk to him all about it. Mm-hmm. And I'm really excited. I guess we have to start the morning with bad news over in London. A high-rise fire. Did you see that?
Yeah, 12 people have died so far.
12 people dead. A lot of people burned. People are jumping out of the windows.
Yeah, we saw it. I saw it. My friend showed me on her. Someone was crowdsourcing it. So we saw it live on Facebook Live. And apparently the people in the building have been calling for the fire hazards for years, saying it's awful.
Really?
This particular building. So it's...
Wow.
They've been calling for this to be fixed for years, apparently. I don't know more of the story, but it's just a tragedy. And then earlier today, freaking Senator Scalise was shot, and there was a shooting at the Congressional baseball park.
Yeah, was that in D.C.?
It was Alexandria, Virginia.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, right around the corner. So he was shot in the hip. Two Capitol Police officers were shot. Another representative was shot, and then thank God that they happened to have Capitol Police officers there, because they were following the majority whip, who's Scalise. And Rand Paul said they all dove into the dugout and he got shot in the hip and like dragged himself into the dugout. And there was a shootout between the Capitol Police protecting him and this crazy guy
and the shooter,
and they ended up killing him. So it was only because of the majority whip security that they ended up saving themselves. So this is all happening kind of very quickly. Everyone's in stable condition. Everyone else, the Capitol Police, are being, you know, hailed as heroes.
Right.
But there's a full-on shootout in Alexandria, Virginia.
Right, I know.
Yeah.
Well, he is dead, and, obviously we don't know the motive yet, but maybe crazy, maybe mentally ill. I don't know what the hell his problem is, but... But the fire in London, I mean, you look at those pictures and it's just blazing and you go, my God, can you imagine being trapped in something like that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just unbelievable. And it brings back memories of 9/11, you know, and that's
definitely pretty. Anytime you see a building on fire, it's like.
Yeah. People jumping out of windows. My God. You know, I mean, how worse can it get? You know?
Yeah.
So, okay, so we started with a bummer, but
couple bummers.
We'll move up a little bit.
Yeah. It's Trump's birthday.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it is Trump's birthday today? Really?
Yeah.
Well, nobody celebrating.
Don't you see the parades, Sam? Can't you hear the cheers?
I can, actually, all the way from D.C. I can hear him.
Your brother is born on Trump's birthday.
Wow,
yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I hope it doesn't turn out the same. But, you know, I mean, he is hard to deal with. I can tell you that.
Is Trump your brother? Is that what you're trying to tell us?
Can you imagine?
Oh, my God.
The biggest kept secret ever.
Oh, God.
Wow.
That's so funny. Yeah, and I watched a lot of Sessions in the testifying in front of the Senate, and it was very funny because he looks just like a Keebler elf. He really does.
Yeah.
And or Paula Deen. A lot of people think he looks like Paula Deen. And he's got a great Southern, like really old school South Carolina look. Ooh, it's Southern. And he was like, I'm not stonewalling anyone. And I was like, this is insane. It was just so funny.
Apparently, he didn't remember a lot of things.
Oh, yes.
Right?
He couldn't remember his name, his social security number. No, he couldn't remember anything. He couldn't recall. So finally, Senator Wyden said, are you stonewalling us? Because it looks like you're stonewalling us. I'm not stonewalling anyone. I'm answering as best I can remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can you imagine sitting like this, though, in front of a committee like this and being drilled, I mean, that's got to be like the hardest thing.
You know, Clinton did it for 11 hours for Benghazi, man. Right. And remember the moment she just dusted dust off her shoulder like fucking Jay-Z? It was awesome. But unless you're fully prepared for that, and remember what she did is in between each time where they took breaks because the senators and congressmen needed it, she got up and walked around and spoke to people. Mm. Now, she was prepared by David Kendall of my dad's office, and they did rehearsal after rehearsal after rehearsal. The optics of being testifying in front of the Senate can look either real good or you can look real guilty.
That's true,
so
right?
So she ended up, I think, optically looking quite good. Comey looked quite good, too. Sessions doesn't seem to be looking so good.
Well, because he
doesn't remember a lot. He's not he is floundering, apparently. He's not doing very well. So yeah.
Okay, well,
if you can't remember,
let's keep him out of that office, you know.
Yeah, if you have to recuse yourself from a congressional Russian investigation, maybe you shouldn't be the attorney general.
Yeah.
So, you know, Senator Warren has asked for his firing. So people have started, but he's really in the mix of it. So he's in deep. He's in deep. This Keebler elf, Sam, he's in deep. He's deep in the milk of
I know,
the cereal.
But you know what? For once, I'm happy for that because I didn't like him from the beginning.
Oh, he's a racist asshole.
Not only that, he's dangerous to a lot of our liberties, I think.
And, amen.
And I wouldn't want to see that.
Amen.
Yeah.
He's sort of that old white male that we had for so long.
He is. Like an old dying dinosaur.
Yeah, and when he went up against California Congresswoman Kamala Harris, he just interrupted, and she just stayed there patiently and kind of rolled her eyes a little and finally said, he goes, can you just answer the question? And he goes, you're talking too fast. You're making me nervous. And I think that's going to be a great meme for the rest of his life. This wonderfully woman of color making him nervous. You know, it's like the new generation coming in.
Yeah, there you go. You know,
you're making me nervous.
Yeah. Wow.
So it was a great moment.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yesterday we were talking about dogs, and I wanted to bring this up because I guess they're doing some studies on why some dogs risk their lives to save humans. And that's pretty interesting. So they concluded, I mean, there's still a lot of studies, but they are thinking that dogs actually have empathy, that can experience empathy like humans can.
Yeah, and a lot of the time you think it's because wolves got domesticated because they could eat better if they were around the humans, and humans used them for protection and travel and transport. So it became a symbiotic relationship. So you'd think it's just an instinct, but they are finding, like in MRIs with dogs, there's an empathy gene or there's an empathy part of the brain that's different than just an instinct that cares.
Right, right. So, yeah. And you can see that. You know, it's almost like you don't need studies for that. You look at dogs. And you can see, I mean,
I hoped for it. Yeah. I wanted it to be true.
Yeah. You know, and, well, just look at the way dogs really communicate with people.
Oh, God.
The way they behave. You can tell by their behavior whether they really feel something or not.
I mean, my dog and I are like, my husband's on the end of the bed. We're just like, good night, Josie Rose. Good night, Mom. Like, we are loving on each other. I feel so, you know, we do. We just love each other.
That's cool, though. Yeah. I'm thinking of maybe getting a dog for my parents, you know?
Oh, that's
maybe
so cool. Could help them. I'm going to look for one for
you. I mean,
you.
When my brother brings his Pomeranian, they get so they happy. Like it. Yeah.
So you could get a really nice older senior small little fluff ball.
Yeah, huh?
I'm going to look for you.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
Yeah. A fluff ball, yeah, just like that.
A pom is
the
great.
Pomeranian.
Yeah, they don't really do much but look cute and sit on your lap.
Right,
yeah.
You know, and they're cute.
They're called lap dogs for a reason.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I know, and Chihuahuas are just too restless.
They're a bit
yappy.
I don't
think a Chihuaha would be good, but
you know, Pomeranians can be real yappy.
Right.
You got to find a chilled out Southern California Pomeranian.
That's true, right?
Because in New York, it was like, yip 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 yip. You know what I mean? Oh my God.
That's true. That's how they are. They're just too hyper, the small dogs.
And a lot of the times, it's not their fault because owners keep them in their freaking purse. You got to let them run. They're still a dog.
Yeah.
So they have all this energy, and they're like, get me out of this flipping purse. I worked at Henry Bendel selling bras to very rich women.
And they bring their dogs.
And they would always bring their dogs. And in my head, I thought, just let the dog run around.
Yeah.
It has so much poor energy. It's still a dog.
That's true, right?
Yeah. You know, it's not just a stuffed animal.
So do you prefer small, medium, or large dogs?
I'm a big medium fan.
Okay.
But I'm I love the biggest pit bull you could ever find. Like,
really?
I worked with big pit bulls. I worked with Akitas. I worked with, this was during when I was doing my dog ship apprentice. I've done so many weird things in my life. There was a hybrid wolf that was part of the pack. That was also really cool. Rottweilers all over. But I always have had medium dogs.
Yeah.
Like 20-25 pound, you know, 20 yeah. pounders. But any, I like the ones that are broken that no one else wants. I tend to get those.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know. And it just, I think it's painful though when you realize you can't take all of them,
oh,
right?
It's
I
awful.
Mean, that's why I don't like those pictures and videos of dogs that are being
neglected.
You're not
supposed to.
You
know? It's supposed to.
Right. But it drives you into saying, well, how do people treat animals like that?
And also, why do you think Bob Barker spent every single Price is Right saying, please spay and neuter after every single episode? He said, please, thanks. This is Bob Barker on The Price is Right. Please remember to neuter and spay your animals.
Wow. Very
because interesting. Because we have an excess of the animals. So if you neuter and spay, oh my
right.
God, you're helping the population go down.
Yeah, that's true.
Spray.
Spray. All right. Well, we're going to take the call from our guest right now. We're going to be joined by Michael Grandinetti. Michael, are you with us?
Sam, I'm here. How are you?
Good
Hi.
Morning. Thank you for calling in, Michael. How are you?
Good morning to you. Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm great. How are you?
Of course. We were looking forward to this, man. You're a big deal, at least in my eyes, the stuff you do and everything. So that's amazing. We teased this a little bit at the beginning. And first of all, where are you calling us from this morning? Where are you in the country?
I am actually here in L.A. I'm here for the next 2 weeks working on the promotion for the TV show, and then we hit the road again. So it's kind of the calm before the storm.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
So tell us a little bit. You're a magician, a grand magician, I would say, by the stuff that you do. And you have an upcoming show as well. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, thank you, first of all. Yeah, our show is called Masters of Illusion. It is on the CW Network. And we're actually going into our fourth season, which I'm very excited about. We've had a great time on the show for the past 3 years. The show starts June 30th. It'll run for 13 weeks every Friday night at 8 o'clock. And the premise of the show is basically the producers have invited who they feel are, you know, magicians from all over the world, basically to come to Hollywood and bring what they feel are their best illusions. So every week, viewers can tune in and see magic from around the world, everything from close-up magic to large-scale illusions to escapes. And it's a great show for the whole family to watch.
Wow.
Wow, that's awesome.
I love this stuff, man, right? I mean, everybody loves magic, yeah. Right, Tori?
I try not to, and then I'm like, but how did he do it?
Right.
Oh, I get so taken in. It's so annoying. But it's
amazing.
Great. It's amazing, and the sleight of hand and the idea of being a magician is also like, some kid growing up being like, I want to be a wizard when I grow up. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, right.
So cool.
So,
but that was me.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
so
I was
how
a bad
did
kid and I never got off the path.
Yeah. So I am curious how you got into this. How young you were at the time? Were you always fascinated by magic since you were a kid?
Well, I always tell people that I'm one of the very lucky people who found what they love to do very early on. I got a magic set for Christmas when I was 5. And that was it. I was hooked. So from yeah. 5 years old on,
whoa.
I knew what I wanted to do. You know, I kind of look back and I can't remember a time where magic wasn't in my life. So the older I get, the more lucky I realize I kind of was to find that so early.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
It does make it easier than being a freshman and being like in college, being like, I guess I'll go into right. this. Like, yeah.
At least you knew.
Yeah.
At yes. least you knew.
Yes, but you know what? It's when I was in college, I had to go, okay, I can't study magic, so what do I study?
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
So, you know, I had to figure it. So I study business, which as you guys know in show business, that's pretty important also.
It's half the equation.
You have to. Mm-hmm. So Michael, did you have your family supporting you on this, or did this just seem like he just wants to be an actor in Hollywood or something like this?
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you if it wasn't for all of the support that I got from my family. My family was incredibly supportive. Incredibly supportive, as was everybody in the community that I grew up in. I'm from Pittsburgh, and when I was 12 years old and I started doing shows, they treated me like I was an adult, you know, magician. They never treated me like, they never talked down to me. They never treated me like I was a little kid or like this was just, you know, some kind of passing thing. And man, when you get that kind of, respect for what you do given to you, it just gives you all the confidence in the world. So I was very lucky.
Yeah.
What's your stage name, like the great blah, blah, blah? Is there one, or are you just, hey, what's up? It's just your name.
Yeah, the great Houdini.
Or is that old? Is that old school?
Well,
he's like, yes.
Yeah. I think most days people just go by their name. And I talk about being lucky, you know, with a name like Grandin Eddie. I've had people ask me if that's my real name.
That's what I thought. I was like, is that real?
Yeah, it's my real, you know, it's my real name. It ends in an I. It has a whole flow to it. So, you know, I couldn't have, you know, I think I couldn't have. My family was very, I'm very lucky to come from that family and have that name.
Yeah, you could have been Phil Smith, the magician.
Right. Now, yeah, Michael, you know what I'm curious about is in today's, with technology and everything, people are able to share and reveal things and leak things. Don't you find that you magic, like, right away people find out what it is that you like the essence of your trick, and then it spoils it for everybody?
Well, I'll let you in on a secret. You know, when people discover how a piece of magic works, you know, they're only hurting themselves.
Right.
You know, it doesn't hurt the magician. It doesn't hurt, because if you think about it, there's not many things that really give people that sense of amazement.
Right.
So I always tell people that if you want to dig deep and find out something works, you're not, you know, you're robbing yourself of again, feeling that very rare sense of amazement. And I think for the most part, I've had a lot of people tell me, look, I don't want to know. You know, it's much
yeah, I don't want to know.
Right.
I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Isn't it fun to be fooled and be amazed?
Right. Kind of. But then there is the kind where I'm like, all right, just tell me.
Yeah,
so,
right.
But I think what's good is, like, there, you know, it's like, you know, remember The Sixth Sense, that movie?
Yes.
Where we all knew, but no one told anyone that he died in the end because you wanted everyone else to get that same feeling. That's how magic should be.
Right.
Everyone keep it. No one
like
say anything.
Like a twist or something.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it's misdirection and all that, the stuff we know about. But so Michael, you've spent years learning and refining this stuff. So I imagine you developed your own original tricks and everything, like many magicians do, like things that
I that was always my goal. That was all, you know, even when I was a little kid and as I grew up, it was, for me, it was, I always wanted to have a large scale show, and I always wanted to do things that were my own. So that's what makes it fun for me. I have to tell you, coming up with this stuff, you know, every day trying to think of what's the new way to amaze people. How can I make things better? How can, you know, that keeps my job a lot of fun. And over the years, we've had a chance to design some illusions and take them to some pretty, you know, interesting places that have been a lot of fun. I'll give you an example. We were invited. I was very honored to be invited to be the first magician to perform in the 4th of July parade in Washington. And so we were on a float. We were on a float moving down Constitution Avenue in Washington.
That's my street. That's my hometown, baby. That's my hometown.
That's your hometown?
Oh, yeah.
I love it.
Thank you.
It is one of my favorite places.
Thank you.
And so we came up with an illusion to make one of our dancers float above a float as we moved down the parade route. So that was a lot of fun.
That's adorable.
A lot of people responded to that. Oh, it was a blast.
She should have been drinking a float while floating above the float. Then I would have been. No, I'm just kidding.
We should have talked years ago. I should have had this idea.
Drinking a float.
That's great.
Yeah, I love. That's what I love, is trying to come up with new ways to.
Sure.
I always tell people I'm never in competition with other magicians, but I'm very much in competition with myself. So I push myself very hard to create new things.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's awesome. Michael Grandinetti, and you have the word grand in your name.
I'm saying, right?
Go.
It's
you're
perfect.
Grand magician.
It's like, it couldn't be a better name. I said it's better than Phil Smith or something.
So everybody should go to the website.
I thank my family every day.
Yeah. Go to michaelgrandinetti.com. You can see a lot of photos and videos and everything of what Michael has done. And this is amazing to me. Some of the things that you do here. And you're right, you know, because like a couple of the things you do here, I look at the picture and I'm like, somebody spoiled it for me on Facebook, you know, and I think I know how it's done. But you're right. When you think about it, you go, it's much more magical when you don't know.
Yeah, it's the magic.
You know, it's magic. Like you wonder, how do they do this, you know? And that's what, and I think everybody loves a magician, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, and what's funny is, like, I study pop culture, and magic really kind of, like, was out of fashion. And then a lot of these reality shows that show, just like the shows he's on, they really, magic is back, baby.
Right.
Magic is the new black. But it's become a big thing, and I went to the Magic Castle, and it was like the who's who of L.A. was there.
Right.
So magic is back in fashion, so I look forward to watching the show.
Oh yeah, well thank you. You know, and I hope you both have a chance to see it. I hope you enjoy it. And I agree. You know, magic never really goes away. It's been around for, you know,
centuries.
Actually, it goes back thousands of years.
Yeah.
But you know, it always, it's one of those things that really connects with people of all ages. So, and I love to hear people's excitement for it. That just, you know, to me, I do my job so that people are amazed and excited. So when I hear that excitement in your voice, it makes me happy.
Yeah, no, totally. And I was like, you know, to be honest, MPH, Neil Patrick Harris, he is a really, you know, is a big guy. He was Doogie Howser. Then he was on How I Met Your Mother. He was a magician and really, like, brought magic back into sort of mainstream. And now you see it on America's Got Talent. It's always magicians that are winning. So congratulations. You're back.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and that's great. You know, and I hope that the popularity of magic keeps moving upward. And I think it will. There are so many magic projects in the works all over the place now that I think that, you know, I hope it keeps going and keeps, you know, getting its visibility. Because, again, it really is there's nothing like it. You know, I say that from a biased perspective because I'm a magician myself. But, you know, as an entertainment medium, again, not many things give people that sense of amazement. So,
that's,
you know, the
true.
More it's out there, the better.
Do you feel the sense of amazement when you're doing it, even though you know it? Does that make sense? Do you get that magic sense too?
When I'm performing,
when you're performing and you know the trick, but someone else doesn't. Do you still get that feeling?
Well, when I see somebody respond to an illusion, you know, when you see that look on their face, you see the look in their eyes, you see their mouths kind of drop. that you feel it vicariously through them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that give you, you know, I get that sense of amazement from watching the audience. And honestly, when I perform also, I try my best not to, you know, we prepare so much and we rehearse, you know, so hard for all of our shows. So we, you know, we put so much time into it that I try not to think of that when I'm performing.
Yeah.
So that, you know, as a performer, you're in the moment. And I think that's very, very important. So I try, you know, what I wish is, I wish I could shut off the magician switch completely. I wish I could sit down and watch a magician and feel amazed.
Right.
And that is
right.
Something I think most magicians will tell you they can't do.
Right.
Because you think like a magician all the time.
Yeah, the logic of it.
That's
and the
true.
Logistics.
You deconstruct it technically, you know. So, Michael, some of the things you're going to do are amazing this season. Melting through an industrial fan.
Sure. Who has
mind reading
that?
Mouse. I mean, my God.
Mind reading mouse. That sounds
mind reading mouse. Tell us a little bit about that one, Michael.
Yeah, doesn't everybody have a mouse to read mine? Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's every year in the show I try and mix up, you know, large scale illusions with some pieces that are smaller and that are interactive with the audience. I love getting people from the audience and inviting them up on stage and just having fun with them. And again, you know, watching them react to the magic. That makes my job so much fun. This year we came up with a piece with a little white mouse. It's a live mouse. And the mouse actually reads the mind of a lady from the audience. She thinks of something, and I don't want to spoil the surprise and tell you exactly what the mouse does.
Right.
But the mouse definitely shows that, you know, that they read this young lady's mind.
Whoa, and
it's,
dude!
It's a fun piece. It's a it's probably one of my favorite audience interactive pieces that we've done on the show.
Wow.
I do like when they mind read. That's a good one.
Yeah, that one is, you have to let me know what you think of it. And that fan illusion where I walk through the fan is dangerous.
Oh,
I mean, that is not, when you see that one, when you see this giant fan, there's no trick to the fan. The fan is not an illusion. Those spinning metal blades, they are real.
Wow. That's amazing, you know, and that's the thing, man. I mean, you've really got yourself a niche where you can entertain a lot of people, you know. So tell people again when they can watch you, where... Michael?
Yes, absolutely. So the show is on Friday nights. It is called Masters of Illusion. It premieres June 30th. It'll run for 13 weeks and every Friday night at 8 o'clock. So I hope everyone has a chance to tune in And I hope they enjoy the magic every week.
Yeah. And I want people to go to your website because you have a lot of events. You even have, you do corporate magic. What is that?
Yeah, so we travel all over the country and do magic basically in every situation imaginable, from casinos and theaters to the halftime shows for NFL football games to, interestingly, you know, some corporations have hired us to come in and use magic to tell the story of their products.
Huh.
So it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's a great way to illustrate, you know, what a company's product does. I'll give you a quick example. So the American Marketing Association called us, and they wanted us to illustrate communication at the speed of light, because that was their theme that year. So we devised a way to make a laptop, somebody's computer, while it was playing a video message from the president, from the CEO of the AMA, it instantly disappeared from one side of the stage and reappeared on the other side of the stage.
Whoa.
While the video of the CEO talking was not interrupted.
Whoa.
It just instantly disappeared and reappeared. And then we made the CEO actually appear out of the screen and become real.
Wow.
And you designed this yourself.
That's exactly what I would want. If I were like, you know what it's like? It's like Steve Jobs. He would have a little magic to his presentation. And now you get Tim Cook, who's lovely, but he's boring as hell. You need a little magic back
that
in the game. That's
yes.
very good.
Well, it makes a message kind of stand out.
Yeah.
It makes people remember it. And also it makes it a lot of, you know, I hope a lot of fun. We try and the whole goal of everything I do is just to give the audience a good time. If they're having a good time, I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah. That's awesome, man. And I'm looking at some of your tricks here, and I'm really, really impressed. I mean, I'd really love to see this. Everybody, catch the show on the CW June 30th.
Let the mouse read your mind.
Yeah. So are you going to be like a regular part of the show? I mean, are you on every episode?
I'm going to be in a little bit more than half of the episodes. And then I believe they're going to do this year what they did last year, which is last year they repeated previous season's episodes at 8:30.
Oh.
And, you know, so after you'd watch a new episode, you could see if you missed maybe one of the prior season's episodes, you could tune in and see that. So
yeah.
I think throughout the summer, you know, our illusions are going to be represented, you know, quite a bit. And like I said, I hope people enjoy them. We put a lot of time into making them hopefully as enjoyable as we can for people.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah, wow. So this is amazing, and you're not new. I mean, you've been around. You obviously know what you're doing, and that's cool to be on national TV, you know, and have your own show pretty much, and be able to do the stuff you want to do, you know. So very inspiring, Michael, if nothing else, you know. I mean, not only do you do you impress with your magic, but also your story is amazing. And I wish we had more time to really find out how you got into it.
See, now I want to know the trick.
Right.
See, that's the problem, right? You can only spend so much time with a magician.
Right. So, but you're only visiting in... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, the next time our schedules coordinate, I'm in town, I will have to stop by and I'll show you some magic.
Ugh,
absolutely.
Totally.
See, that's what we'd like to do. Tori was asking me, I wonder if you can show us some magic on the phone. And we're hoping maybe if you hold it close to the mic.
Because we make
we'll
a lot of sense.
See some things. Yeah, but
that makes zero sense.
Yeah. But Michael, thank you so much for joining us. You're very entertaining. And all the best to you. Much success with the show. And thanks for visiting. Now, so since you are visiting, where is it that you reside these days?
Well, I'm actually based here in L.A. But we travel so much.
Right.
You know, I'm in L.A. probably the least amount of time throughout the year.
Yeah.
So I just happen to be here because of the TV show and all the work we're doing for that, but Other than that, I travel a lot. On airplanes and hotels.
Wow. What a kind of, what a life, you know. Now, but did you grow up here in California?
No, I'm actually originally from the East Coast. I was born and raised in Pittsburgh.
Oh, nice.
And, Pittsburgh's a great city. If you've never been to Pittsburgh, I always tell people, check out Pittsburgh. It's a great place to it's a great place to be from, and it's a great place to visit. But no, I've been in LA for about the past 15 years, and I love it here too. You know, LA is a great place. I wish I could spend more time here.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, we spend a lot of time here, but you know, it's everybody seems to want to come here, you know, so
it's the hot spot.
Exactly. Even those people are not sometimes the nicest.
Yeah,
or
get
the
out.
Coolest,
we don't want them.
But we have a lot of cool people here. You know, I mean, remember, we have 4 million people in L.A. So there's a lot to choose from. Michael, thank you so much again for joining us. How can people find you once again?
Well, absolutely. Well, my website is michaelgrandinetti.com. And then I always tell people, feel free to connect on social media. I'm on Facebook under Michael Grandinetti. On Twitter, I'm GrandinettiMG. On Instagram, I'm Michael Grandinetti. And again, I always welcome people to connect, ask any questions. I love hearing from everybody.
Wow.
And thank you both so much for having me on. It was great talking to you. And, I really appreciate your support of our show.
Absolutely. Anytime. We're going to watch it and then talk about it for sure. June 30th, everybody. Michael, thank you so much for joining us yet once again. And all the best to you. Much continued success.
Thank you so much. The same to you.
Okay,
thank you.
Bye-bye.
Cool
magicians,
too.
I love magicians.
Yeah, they you know, they have to be good in bed, right?
I guess.
Because
I
they
know.
Got a lot. I mean, I always think about magicians being, I mean, they're very good with their...
Never thought about that one before,
they're good,
Tori.
They're
you
good
know?
With the misdirection and the...
Right.
I don't know. They see, what if, you know...
But, I mean, but do you know, I just thought about it. Do you know any, like, female magicians, like any major ones? I don't think there are any, right? We almost always think of a magician as a man.
That's so funny, too, right? Because you always see the assistant.
The assistant
like
is a beautiful
scantily
woman.
Scantily clad, dressed woman who gets cut in half.
Right, because that's
yeah,
a mainstream.
We do need
know?
Some mainstream female magician. You know, a lot of comics do magic when they do stuff. They,
oh, really?
They combine comedy and magic, and it's really fun. The audience seems to love it.
Yeah.
You
no,
can
no,
really
it
kill.
It would be cool. You
yeah,
know?
It's fun to do it in a comic way.
And you would stand out, too, if you were a female magician.
Yeah.
There you go. You know, if people don't know what to do with their lives.
I can't even put milk in my coffee this morning without spilling it over my Apple remote TV.
Well, I'm talking to people in general
yeah.
who don't know what to do with themselves.
Hey,
become a
magic.
Magician,
a lot of money in magic.
I know.
But if you can be successful, that's a great idea. There aren't a lot of women magicians. And I feel bad if I'm forgetting any. But, you know, the first person I think of when I think magic, who's the first person you think of when you think magic?
Well, obviously Houdini, right?
See, that's the my generation, name. We think of David
well,
Blaine.
Well, he wasn't my generation either.
No,
though.
Of course not. No,
I'm
of
just
course
thinking.
Not.
I thought you were asking like about all generations. Then he would be the biggest. But yeah, David Blaine.
Yeah, that's who I go to. Right?
You see, I grew up with David Copperfield. I guess
Copperfield still going
right.
strong.
Yeah.
I went to see Siegfried and Roy when I was in Vegas as a kid. That's
yeah,
how old
right?
I am. And no, I was not there during the horrible one where they were attacked by the white tiger. But
oh
man, it was neat.
Yeah.
Wow.
No, I remember.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I was around when they were there too.
So. Ugh, so much fun.
I know.
Copperfield
I know.
Made like a whole. Didn't he make the Statue of Liberty disappear?
Yeah, he did. Then Hawaii, you know.
And didn't he date every hot girl ever?
Probably.
He was getting it with everyone.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
he's a magician. Again, they're good and bad.
That's true. Yeah.
My theory has.
He
progressed.
Was. Wasn't he with
like
what's
Christie
her
Brinkley
name?
Or something?
Yeah, or the other one.
Yeah, we all say the other one.
I forgot the other one's name. She was like a guest model for many years. And she was like
it's
the
like
hottest
Elle
model.
I got to look it up. I'm embarrassed that we don't know this.
No, it's not Elle either. But, it'll come to us.
Yeah.
At any rate, it doesn't really matter. But the point is, I got to tell you, one of them, I'm looking at the photos here. And
Claudia Schiffer.
That's
it.
You. We were talking about the same one.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
She's German, right?
Yes. She's hot as balls.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's
yeah.
who he was with. I
yeah.
remember. Yeah. Wow. So, but now, you know, when you look at the magic, And when you know a trick, like one of them, I mean, he's got a big levitation trick.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I saw how this is done on Facebook, and it's ruined this for me now, because now I know where the misdirection is. And that's what magic is, you know, you're like thinking, you're looking one way while he's doing something on the other side.
Yeah, and just like a comic, all of their little shtick is very well planned.
Right.
So that if you're making a joke, you're laughing while he's taking something, you know,
exactly.
or she's taking
and
something.
And the joke
yeah,
is
yeah.
part of it.
Oh,
yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I mean, you've seen them levitated in midair, and they put a ring around him and everything. It's like,
I love
wow.
that stuff. David
yeah,
Blaine does it on the street, and a woman just like full passed out.
I know, but I know how to do that. I
gotta
how
see you levitate
it.
Afterwards. You're gonna tell me after.
No, okay, I'll tell you
tell
afterwards.
After,
I don't want to
no, don't
spoil it.
It
for you.
No,
but,
no.
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, and it is about technology and people finding new ways of doing things.
But I think that's like whatever, even in the Neanderthals, people were finding new ways to, like, I remember I was watching a Werner Herzog documentary about a cave that had the oldest cave paintings in the world in France.
Right.
And in it, they have like a bear or a horse running, and someone drew it like 4 or 5 times in different ways, so that when you had firelight, it looked like it was moving.
So I'm like talking frames.
Yeah, almost like frames. So this is someone way back as almost Neanderthal coming up with the best technology they could use to have a little magic.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know. But isn't it interesting though that, notice, like, I'm not a magician, you're not a magician, but even if we know how a trick is done, you don't want to give it away.
No,
because
I know.
You know, you want people to enjoy it.
Sacred.
Yeah, so it's not just magicians that keep secret. I guess most people do.
Yeah, it's like what I said about the sixth sense. Like, if you're the douche that's telling me that Bruce Willis is dead the whole time, you're ruining.
You spoiled it for me.
Yeah, you spoil it. Yeah. So that's there's true. Something about the sacredness of it, I think.
Right. So if you look at it as entertainment, then you don't really need to know how they do that. It's just like in movie. They call it movie magic.
Yeah, movie
you know,
magic,
they've
yeah.
got all the effects, you know, like Wonder Woman. You sit there and you go, how did they do that? Right? So it's the same thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's the magic is that you don't know how.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
stay a little dumb, a little ignorant. It's okay.
Ignorance is bliss, baby.
Yeah.
That's what I think. Hell yeah.
So, the fire we talked about, an Uber board member is resigning after making sexist comment at the meeting about sexism.
Yeah, it's David Bonderman.
Yeah?
Yeah. I know of David Bonderman because of DC Connections, and not a bad guy. This isn't a bad guy. He just did a really dumb thing.
No, were there women in the room? I'm
it was
sure
he
they
interrupted
were, right?
Arianna Huffington.
Really?
Speaking,
to tell her that.
Speaking about women and needing more representation on the board, and he said it to, and many people overheard him, well, if we have more women on the board, there's going to be a lot more talking.
A lot more talking, and wow.
Yeah. Now, again, I do know this person, and of this person, this is not a bad person.
Right. But they never are, you know? I mean,
people sometimes
say
they're
things.
Just dicks, you know?
Well,
this was a dumb move in a dumb way, and it will be, it was a bad mistake.
Yeah.
Bad mistake. You don't interrupt Arianna Huffington, who's also on the board of Uber, to say, you know, it was just, it couldn't have been dumber.
It was dumb.
Yeah.
It was the wrong place, wrong time, and the wrong thing to say.
Yeah.
And he had to resign.
Yeah. But he's a great businessman, but this follows you. This follows you. And I've known him for a long time.
Yeah.
So this is
Well, you know, people forget. I mean, this is not like a major thing, you know?
No, but when you bring him...
It's major when he's in a big company and it could hurt the company.
No, but the next time you hear about David Bonderman, this will follow him.
Yeah.
He'll be like, oh, that guy who did that.
The thing is, I didn't even know who he was until this.
Yeah, well, he's been part of like airlines and he owns Kraft. There was a lot of stuff he's done in the past, but he's a parent of a friend of mine from school, and he was always very kind and very nice. And so was the daughter, and a feminist. She was a feminist. So it's not as if he raised, this was a sexist guy. I mean, really. So from what I know of him. So it was just a bad mistake, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was inappropriate.
But this is something that people might joke about, you know?
Yeah,
what
but
I'm
that's what Ariana...
But not in a meeting like
no,
that.
But also that's the whole point, is Huffington was saying, what she really was saying is you wouldn't get these jokes, you wouldn't get the chauvinism if you just added a few more representative women on the board. Literally, she was saying what Eric Holder found when he did the entire investigation was Uber was rampant with a culture of sexism, and they were like, everybody was okay with it. You could say to HR, this person is doing this. It didn't matter. If you hustle and you got money, it didn't matter. So the culture was of sexism.
Right.
So what she was saying was like, if you just get more women on the board, the culture starts to shift a little because it's just women not dissing other women.
Yeah.
And he having to say that shows you why you need more women on the board, because it's completely inappropriate. I mean, it's just more, you know, more talking.
Yeah,
about,
but on the continuum of terrible and not terrible, you know, I don't know.
It was a foot in the mouth. It was a foot in the mouth.
Yeah.
It was a really bad foot in the mouth when you're dealing with sexism on in a company that's multi-billion dollars and you're one of the big investors.
And there's being accused of that. You have to be very careful, too.
Yeah. And it just was a stupid, stupid move. And to be honest, that's what she was trying to say the whole time.
Yeah.
We'll get less of these dumb moves if you have more women on board.
Yeah.
So she's right. So we'll see.
Yeah, but maybe that's a sexist remark, too. I don't know.
Well, I don't think we'd get a lot more people saying there'll be a lot more talking. I think she just wants, there's like two women on the board. She wants more representatives.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Advertisers are withdrawing from Megyn Kelly.
Yeah. JP Morgan's out.
JP Morgan's out. Yeah. Okay, but apparently they're all saying they'll come back after the interview, so I don't know. She's going to interview Alex Jones, who's very controversial.
Yeah.
Says 9/11 was an inside job and things like that. So
the most important thing is he said that Sandy Hook is a hoax. They're all actors. So the children that died in Sandy Hook were all acting.
Right. Now, he hasn't taken the stuff back, right?
No, he still believes that. And just know that Megyn Kelly was chosen to speak at the Sandy Hook Newton remembrance, and she was therefore revoked yesterday. And also she has not given up equal time to any of the parents of the Newton school shooting. So if you're giving Crazy a platform to speak about this, I think she should invite some Newton Sandy Hook parents on.
Well, maybe I mean, but
she said she will not, she so far has not had them on or asked, or
well,
they've
she could
asked
afterwards,
to be on.
Though, maybe,
they have asked to be on or asked, will there be an invitation, and there's been no word.
Okay.
So.
But I think people, you see, but I don't want him shut up. I want to hear what he has to say to see.
Why?
Because I need to know how crazy people are. I want to understand why people, so many, why he's popular. Why would somebody like this be popular?
Now,
and you asking me why? Because it's freedom of speech. You know,
I want to hear.
I'm not saying I agree with him. I want to hear what this case has to say.
I agree he can be on the air. I don't understand why Megyn Kelly has to give him a platform to speak louder. I don't understand that. Now, here's what she said in the response, and she agrees with what you said. She says, the President Trump has interviewed with Alex Jones. So if he's given him the credibility, we want to shine a light on that.
And it's not about credibility. I mean, look, Alex Jones, I couldn't care less about him. I don't know who the hell, I didn't know who he was until I found out he was like a big deal with his podcast on the internet, InfoWars, whatever. But I never heard good things about him. But now I want to know, how does somebody get popular by saying these things? That's what I'm fascinated with, and I don't want people to shut up.
Now, that is a valid point, and it's also a valid point that he was made louder and more popular by the president himself, so therefore their credibility was given by the executive branch. Why not interview him?
Right.
I hear you.
She's given us a chance to expose him, whoever he is.
I hear that. At the same time, that's like saying I can take a Ku Klux Klan member from Michigan and interview him and give him a... You can't give
but
Crazy...
But wouldn't you want to know what these people think? I mean, this is about censorship and against the First Amendment.
I'm not against him speaking all he wants.
Right.
He can be on air. He can do his podcast. I don't know why NBC, which seems to be doing it for the ratings, would give someone during this Sandy Hook anniversary this amount of pain to those parents. I think this is for ratings, and I think it's really, really inexcusable.
But if he's not important, why would it give it pain? They should just like not pay attention to him.
You're giving the person that says there are children who died execution style were actors, you're giving them a primetime spot on NBC.
Okay, but you can just dismiss it as the opinion of a crazy man.
But why is he on NBC?
Why do I care if he says it or not?
Because if he's crazy, why is NBC giving him a spot? If he's crazy, why are we justifying this by giving him an interview with Megyn Kelly?
Because
we
want to see this crazy. I want to understand who the people are that made him that popular. Because if he's crazy, there's got to be a lot of other crazy people. I want to know about it. You know, so all I'm saying is I'm not for shutting people up. That's all. You know,
either, but I'm also not for giving hurtful people a platform as big as a prime.
Well,
time
because
spot.
You don't agree with them.
I'm just saying I'm not. I don't think Fox News should interview some crazy liberal. I don't understand the point of giving him this megaphone when he's absolutely a nut job.
Right, but who decides if he's crazy? We're deciding he's crazy here, but maybe some people don't think he's crazy.
What I'm trying to say is, when you have parents who are hurt by this, and it's done for ratings, it seems odd to have a crazy person on your platform when he doesn't have any credibility whatsoever.
But how do you know it's for ratings? I mean, the thing is, the advertisers are leaving, so obviously they know they're going to lose money on this, and they're still doing it.
They know that.
Look,
Megyn Kelly has come out with Putin and now Alex Jones. She is trying to get big, big ratings with big interviews, and I think it's hurtful and it's really, really painful for the parents of Newton to have to listen to this crazy guy.
Right, but
you don't have to give him a megaphone. He can be on a podcast for free speech all he wants. Why are you giving him credibility by putting him on?
But why are you afraid of people saying what they say? okay. I mean, you see, but this is a liberal thing, Tori. Not wanting to talk to people or about subjects that you don't agree with.
I'm fine with this. In terms of he's allowed to speak, he can be on podcasts, the President Trump can interview him, he can be interviewed. I don't care. I'm never going to shut him up. Mm-hmm. Why interview him and put a spotlight on someone who's so evil?
Because that's what...
You're giving a mega voice, a megaphone, NBC primetime, to someone who is crazy.
Right.
Why?
Well, but that's your opinion. That's what I'm saying. Some people may not think he's crazy, and some people also want to know. I, for one, want to see that interview. Now, NBC says that they expected this, advertisers pulling out and stuff, because they say it happens every time we do controversy.
But guess what?
Stories.
Everyone's going to tune in now.
But you see, that's controversy, Tori, and I think we still need to give it a platform and at least see what the hell's going on. Now, if they put him on as a commentator on regularly on the show, I understand that. But I think, what's her name? Barbara Walters brought us some interviews with controversial people too. You know, so I think that's the job of an interviewer. And
it's a valid point. My point is that she could be interviewing a lot more people that don't have this, that doesn't seem to be using the ratings and the controversy for everyone to tune in a time where it could really hurt a lot of parents of a shooting that we all agree happened.
Right. Okay, so if we all agree it happened, why does it have to hurt the parents just because some idiot is saying this?
Because we're giving him prime time in NBC to talk about it.
Okay, but you're shutting down the rest of the country, you know, because the parents might get hurt by this. I mean,
It's a freedom of speech. I hear you. There's a famous case, Skokie v. Illinois. Do you let Nazis walk through Skokie, which was almost entirely made up of survivors from the Holocaust? The Nazis wanted to walk. The Skokie people didn't want them to walk. There was a movie about it, a constitutional Supreme Court case about it.
Right.
And eventually you have to say, even if it hurts you, you have to walk unless it's causing a clear and present danger.
Right.
That's allowed.
But how can you compare the Holocaust to something like Sandy Hook,
no, I'm talking about freedom of speech.
Right.
Saying like,
but
I'm trying to say your point of view that's saying like,
I understand.
Yeah, like I hear your point of view that even if someone gets hurt from it,
right,
they have to be allowed that. What I don't understand is it's seemingly done for Megyn Kelly's big comeback. I don't understand her giving, it makes me lose credibility for her that she's taking an interview with him seriously.
Right.
That's how I feel. And,
okay, but maybe you're prejudging this. Maybe after the interview you'll go, wow, you know, I really wanted to know this. I wanted to know that people are believing this.
I'm not going to tune in to anyone that doesn't believe that that Sandy Hook children were murdered.
Okay,
I'm not going to tune
so
in.
So you're shutting down.
I'm allowed. That's freedom of speech.
Of
I can
course.
Turn it off. Yeah.
No,
I don't
I'm
have
not
to watch.
Saying you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but...
I'm not interested in hearing his opinions be megaphoned out. No.
Right.
I'm not. And that's your, if you're interested or curious, I totally understand you tuning in. I am not interested.
Yeah, yeah. No, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Okay. And then the best states to raise children.
I love it. Which one is it?
Actually, you know who's leading is New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Vermont, Minnesota, with Iowa and Connecticut tying for fifth place.
So East Coast,
Midwest. East Coast, Midwest. That's where you want to be. You definitely don't want to be out here for kids. But you know what? You know who the worst ones are? Mississippi.
I was going to say it's got to be the South because I don't think the schools are very good. And Alabama and Mississippi have very failing schools right now.
Wow. Look at this. Arizona, Louisiana, Mississippi, and New Mexico. At least 20% of children lived in high poverty neighborhoods.
Oh my, that's terrible.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's bad.
Yeah,
wow.
So move back east, folks.
Go to New Hampshire.
Yeah, right.
Turns out New Hampshire.
I wonder if you're making your way back east,
like,
but gradually.
I'm
you
thinking
know?
About it. Now that you said that, I'm thinking New Hampshire.
Well, no, but I mean, you're moving to Colorado.
You're
maybe you'll
slow.
Keep moving slowly to the east. You know, you'll end up in D.C. as the president of the United States.
From your lips to God's ears.
Yeah,
no,
I'm telling you. No, so I mean, funny. If anybody can do it, you can, you know?
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Well, we wish everyone, we hope everyone's safe. We know today was kind of hard. The fire, the shooting, a lot of stuff happening.
A lot of stuff happening.
Yeah,
but
so
we were
keep safe, everyone.
Entertained by a magician. Check him out, Michael Grandinetti. It's kind of hard for me to say the name, but it was easy for him. It rolls right off his tongue.
Grandinetti.
Yes, and we'll have it spelled on the website as well. Tori, thanks as always.
Thanks.
Now I'm cherishing every day you're here because the days are numbered.
But, I'm going to New Hampshire.
But I got to tell you, man, all I can do is be distracted by what it is that you're going to do. Because you got our curiosity up so high that I'm just doing a puzzle. And put pieces of the puzzle
what if
from
I was
your
just
social
a spy?
Media.
Yeah, what about, I'm not posting your, anything. I'm not allowed.
I know. But you did some things and it gives some clues, I think. Before this happened.
Little drops.
Yeah,
little breadcrumbs.
Exactly. You know, and then from stuff you hear, leaks, you know.
There's a leaker.
Secret sources. Yeah. It's a big deal. But so you're still going to be with us. I got to tell you, I got like dozens and dozens and dozens of responses.
Shut up.
For a co-host. I don't even know where to start.
Oh, man.
I'm telling you, I've been putting it off for 2 days responding.
I got to be able to check off that this person's okay. I have got to be able to make sure they
If you're still here,
hell
I'm going to
yeah.
make him come as a guest
Thank
on
you.
The show. Yeah.
I want to. I get the approval. This is my spot. Yeah. This is my man.
I love that. I love that. Thank you, Tori.
Of course.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.